Milagro Theater, 525 Southeast Stark Street in Portland. We'll have fabulous books and records, CDs, DVDs, classics and surprises, and treasures to discover. Again, that's the KBOO Book and Record Sale, Saturday, November 14th from 10 to 4 at Milagro Theater, 525 Southeast Stark Street in Portland. All proceeds go to support your favorite community radio station, KBOO Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio, along with the International Leonard Peltier Defense Committee and the Jericho Movement, is a proud co-sponsor of Decolonization and Political Prisoners, Thursday, October 29th from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. at the Portland State University Native American Community Center. The evening will focus on U.S.-held political prisoners and decolonizing the prison industrial complex. Speakers include Chauncey Peltier, son of Leonard Peltier, Kent Ford, founder of Portland Black Panther Party, and father of Patrice Lumumba Ford, and Ajamu Umi of the Portland chapter of the All African People's Revolutionary Party. Again, that's Decolonization and Political Prisoners, Thursday, October 29th from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. at the Portland State University Native American Community Center, located at 710 Southwest Jackson Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, October 27th, 2015, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM and kboo.fm on the web. We have three guests today. We're going to take you from Utah and the Utah Sands Resistance to our own Jody McCaffrey and Coos Bay with an update on Jordan Cove, and to Portland, where we will speak with Jamie Partridge, chief petitioner on the $15 an hour ballot measure, which recently, wait for it, this is very exciting, wonderful news, received the endorsement of the AFL-CIO. We're very happy to report that. This is a very significant marker in the push towards achieving at least some degree of equity in the workplace. It's a long time coming. Disgraceful to think should it pass, a huge step forward. But at the same time, $15 an hour in this world is not a lot to live on, but it's better than the past. So that said, we will be speaking momentarily with Jill Merritt. Jill, good morning. Thanks for being with us today on KBOO's Air Cascadia.
Good morning. Well, happy to speak with you.
We're really glad to hear from you. We haven't spoken to anybody with the Utah Tar Sands Resistance in a while here on Air Cascadia. We'd like to hear an update. We know that on October 21st, there was a 24-hour vigil on the lawn of SITLA, S-I-T-L-A, that every one of these actions that launched have an effect. All of it is cumulative. In even the smallest action or the largest, wherever we fall along that spectrum, all of it has an impact. And I wondered if you could tell us a little bit about the vigil, what you were doing, and what the Tar Sands Resistance there has in store in the future in the name of stopping this stuff from rolling.
Mm-hmm. You bet. Well, SITLA is the School and Institutional Trust Lands Administration.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I should have mentioned that.
Yes, that's okay. And they lease oil and they provide for oil and gas leases on state property. And they think they're doing the right thing because this effort is supposed to help Utah school children by providing for their future, but of course oil leases aren't the best way to do that. And so we've had a vigil up there near the mine site, one of the mine sites, all summer, and then we moved it to the CITLA office building just on the 21st. And there were people camping out overnight. They're on the grass, on the not on the CITLA property, but public grass around the building. And they had a lot of good press attention, and a kind of joyous vigil against this dirty work going on.
You have to wonder what children, when they grow up, think when they look around and they see the destruction and are told, "Oh well, they had to do it because of your education." And they, of course, that's ridiculous, and anybody can see that. That just as we have, and that's why we wanted to speak with you today, because we have the same thing here in Oregon, where they've devastated pretty much all of our forests to mm-hmm. fund schools, and you really have to wonder if all this education is doing any good, and kids are learning anything at all. One thing they should be learning is that you can't replace a forest, you can't replace a mountain, you can't replace the lands that are being destroyed, and all. And it's not about education. Come on, it's about profits. You know, are we really that stupid? Anyway, Jill, if you do any words you want to leave our listeners with before we let you go.
Well, I was just going to mention a success we had in one of the counties down south, where they were planning to build a road to facilitate more gas and oil trucks, and we put a kind of a paper wrench into it and ended up stalling it long enough that the public has now come out against it, and the officials are backing off from the whole idea.
Once the public knows exactly what's at stake, a few people will take action, and then more will follow, and mm-hmm. that's what's so critical. Jill, thank you so much. We've been speaking with Jill Merritt, a community organizer with Utah Tar Sands Resistance, and now along that same continuum, we speak with Jody McCaffrey. She is generous with her time, and comes on the show frequently to bring us updates from Coos Bay on the state of the Jordan Cove Project and Pacific Connector. Jody, thanks so much. We welcome you back to the KBOO Airways. Thanks for being with us today.
Yes, thank you for having me on and for covering this issue.
Well, so there are things going on down there. We've had updates coming from your end of things. Do you want to just let listeners know there are events and there are deadlines from October 9th to December 5th, just opposed, and more is currently showing at the Coos Bay. This is an event that's going on. There's an exhibit from people down there on that make you think about what exactly is at stake. That's something that we've been talking about this morning. Can you talk a bit about that show and about the updates on the pipeline path? Can just bring us up to date on that.
Well, that is one of our artists that has a art display at the Coos Art Museum that kind of is focusing on the many sounds of the birds that will be impacted along the proposed pipeline path. I haven't actually gone down and actually viewed her exhibit, but I heard it's pretty awesome. So if people are in the Coos Bay area, or if you're traveling through and want to go see something, that's going to be going from October 9th to December 5th at the Coos Art Museum.
Sometimes it's that kind of thing. That's what it takes to move people. When they see something of that nature, then, no pun intended there, then it makes people stop and think, and it makes it real. It adds that dimension of reality to what actually, again, I mean, I cannot say it often enough, what is at stake here. We forget, you know, you don't know what you have till you lose it, and we stand to lose so much. We've already lost so much of our forests. Can we really afford to lose any more habitat for creatures? I mean, we're part of the habitat too. We forget that, I think. So the Pacific Connector, can you give us an update on the state of that particular effort?
Well, we're actually in the middle of several different processes. On the October 19th, 32 citizens in our area filed an appeal of the Jordan Cove LNG worker camp permit. That's an appeal of the Planning Commission's decision, and that will mean that another hearing is scheduled before the North Bend City Council, and I'm hoping that we can get a large attendance at that hearing when it's scheduled. That's still in the works. They did accept our appeal, and hopefully that will be coming up in the next few months. We also have an appeal of the Trans-Pacific Parkway widening project, because that was approved by an administrative decision and will add another lane that goes into the Coosa Estuary, but there was absolutely no mitigation or consideration, I guess you should say, for the habitat that will impact, including our oysters and our oyster, either commercial or the native oysters that actually grow in the estuary.
So this was just an administration fiat. They just went ahead and said, yes, we're going to do this without any feedback from any public.
They keep doing this. They keep doing these land use decisions by administrative decision. And this one they justified because they said, well, it's needed to alleviate transportation impacts that will occur. So that just justified it, and no consideration for this huge impact that could happen to the estuary. So here we had to go get money, file an appeal, and try to get them to consider, you know, you're going to impact this estuary, and you can't keep doing this. You can't keep having all these projects where you just keep taking away habitat, negatively impacting ecosystems, and not eventually have a problem.
We have to let you go, but I want to find out more about what we would need to do to stop it. I think that the letters to the governor and messages to the governor are a way to go on this. And,
yes, absolutely.
That's how to get it done.
And to your elected officials, yes.
Jody, thank you so much for being with us today. Really appreciate having you back on the air. My guest has been Jody McCaffrey with Citizens Against LNG down in Coos Bay, fighting almost single-handedly against this project. Thanks again, Jody. And now we speak with Jamie Partridge. He's the chief petitioner on the $15 an hour ballot measure. Good morning, Jamie, and welcome to KABU.
Thank you, Chris. Good morning.
Welcome, of course. This is something. This is news. Could you want to? We mentioned it in the headlines. I leave it up to you to tell listeners what has recently happened, and a very important endorsement.
Yes, the Oregon AFL-CIO, the largest labor union federation in the state, has endorsed the $15 minimum wage ballot initiative. That's representing over 100,000 workers in the state of Oregon, about 37 local unions all across the state.
That's a huge achievement. What else are you going after? What do you think now at this point it would take to put this over the top?
Well, we're an all-volunteer operation at this point with our signature gathering, and we've got about 10,000 signatures. We need 88,000 valid signatures by July 1st, and we need folks to get involved in their neighborhoods, on the streets, across the state. We have folks working in about 20 cities, getting out there and talking to their neighbors about why $15 is necessary for workers to get out of poverty.
We got about 1 minute left. Anything else that you would like to add or let listeners know about the import of that's so important to get this done for so many people? Many people are probably who are listening right now. This would impact their lives. What difference would this make? Why is it so important? Tell listeners, because some people don't realize that this really, whether you stand to make $15 an hour or not, this is enormously beneficial for everyone, no matter where they are along the income line.
That's right. Well, particularly, it's, of course, the 40% of workers in the state that make less than $15 an hour at this time. But the having a $15 minimum wage would put an additional $30 billion into the economy and means that businesses would have more customers with money in their pockets. That we see this happening in places like Seattle, San Francisco, Los Angeles, where they're establishing a $15 minimum wage, that more businesses are thriving, hiring people, unemployment is going down. And not only that, but taxpayers are going to be paying less for social safety net programs like food stamps, Section 8 housing, child care subsidies, Oregon Health Plan. In fact, $1.7 billion will be saved in taxpayer payouts for these social safety net programs because people will actually be self-sufficient. And in Oregon and in Portland, of course, we'd like to go higher than 15 because even 15 is not enough in Portland. Yeah. But that's another struggle.
Thank you so much for that, Jamie. That would have brought us, of course, to the issue of housing in Portland, which we don't have time for today. But I want to thank you very much for being with us today. My guest has been Jamie Partridge, chief petition on the $15 an hour ballot measure. We've also heard from Jody McCaffrey with Citizens Against LNG down in Coos Bay. And thanks also to Jill Merritt, community organizer with the Utah Tar Sands Resistance. This has been Air Cascadia for Tuesday, October 27th, 2015. You've been listening to KBOO Portland. Janet Anderson engineered the show for us today. Thanks for that, Janet. Kathleen Stevenson's a KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
KBOO Community Radio is preparing for our legendary book and record sale. We're currently accepting your donations of books, comics,